Good morning, brethren. Situation. Sermon to split sermon situation. Thank you. Two years ago, or maybe a little longer than that, I thought it would be a good idea to read the book of Revelations and try to put all of it in my mind. Honestly and truly, it wasn't there. I've read these booklets years ago. I'm sure you've said that some of you will remember these, the key to the book of Revelations and the Revelations Unveiled at Last. I couldn't tell you how many times I've read those books in the past. And United has a very nice book out on the book of Revelations Unveiled. But, you know, it still wasn't clear in my mind. Everything that's in the book of Revelations. You have the seven churches. You have the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the three woes, the day of the Lord, the seven last plagues, the millennium, new heavens and the new earth. And it was just hard for me to actually get all that in my mind. I don't know why. I'd read it, and then at the time I was reading it, it was clear. But, 6 weeks later, I forgot it. Last week, Jeff mentioned in his sermonette, about halfway through, he mentioned the day of the Lord. And then Mr. Hargroves got up here, and the time before he was here, he was talking about going to give a sermon on the three resurrections, and he got sick, and he only finished on the first resurrection. So he got up here last week, and he says that he's not going to do the second part of that sermon on the second and third resurrection, but he says, I'm going to bring a new sermon. He says, the day of the Lord. Well, I had planned on giving a message on the day of the Lord today. And so whenever he said that, I thought, oh, what am I going to do now? Well, during his sermon, he talked about the day of the Lord, but he only went mostly into the Old Testament. And he kept bringing up these verses in Amos and Isaiah and kept going to the Old Testament. And I thought, well, maybe this is not so bad after all. And it got down where there was 15 minutes to go, and he still hadn't been to Revelations. And 5 minutes to go, and still hadn't been to Revelations. And I thought, well, I guess this is all right. Then he finishes with, this is part one. Next time I come, we'll do part two. So after the sermon, I went up to Mr. Hargroves and I told him, I said, I was planning on giving a message on the day of the Lord. He said that his message was a new message, and the title of the message that he says is the day of the Lord. And so I thought, oh, what am I going to do? So I talked to him about it, and he says, well, no, you can go ahead and give it. That's fine. No problem at all. Well, I got to thinking about it. And I thought, well, he showed me his notes for his part two, and it really looks thorough. There are a lot of verses in there, and I think he'll do a much better job. But what I want to do today is talk about sort of like a summary of the book of Revelations, a review, and talk about a little bit of everything. Now, there is a very good reason to study the book of Revelations. If everyone will turn to Revelations 1 and verse 3. Revelations 1 and verse 3. Revelations 1 and verse 3. It says, Christ says this, blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of the prophecy, this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Has the time ever been more near than it is right now? When you just look at all the events that's going on around this world, it just seems like it's getting closer and closer every day. If we go over to chapter 22 in Revelations, chapter 22, and in verse 7, again, Christ says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." In 1 verse 3, he said, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy." And then he also says, "It keeps those things which are written in it." The word keep means, one of the definitions, there's more than one, but I looked this up in a dictionary. It's keep something. It says to hold, to retain in one's possession. Hold is one's own. So we're to take these words and they should be in our mind. And we should hold on to them like they were our own possessions. The book of Revelation is both good news and bad news. Those that want a title for the message, it's just keeping Revelations. We're going to keep it in our minds. So there is bad news and good news in the book of Revelations. And first, let's look at the bad news. United Church of God, I got on their website and I think I typed in the Day of the Lord. And I want to read what one of the first things that came up that was on the website. It says, "Though we greatly desire Jesus Christ's return, the day of the Lord that precedes his return will be dreadful. Woe to you." This is Amos 5:18. "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. For what good is the day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not light." The day of the Lord usually refers to a time when God powerfully intervenes in the world to punish evil. Then in Isaiah it says, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel both with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy the sinners from it. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." It's a terrible, terrible time. Let's go to the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah is four books back from Matthew. You have Malachi, Zechariah, Haggai, then Zephaniah. In Zephaniah 1, was at the feast in Snowshoe, and I was reading the book of Zephaniah, and I read these verses, and boy, they kind of astounded me. So I remember I talked to some of the members that were from our area, and I brought this up, and they said, "Oh, no, it doesn't say that." And I said, "Get your Bible. Let's look at it." Let's look what it says in Zephaniah 1, starting in verse 2. Mine has a title, "The Great Day of the Lord." It says, "I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the land, says the Lord." Now over in verse 7 it says, "Be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand." So this is talking about the day of the Lord. Over in verse 14 it says, "That day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There are mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm." Let's go back to the book of Revelation. We know the verse 2 and 3 have to do with the seven churches. I'm not going to talk about those today. Chapter 4, if you want a good view of the God's throne, chapter 4 paints it very clearly. Chapter 5 is when Jesus Christ takes this scroll. It's got seven seals, and he peels them off one by one. 6, the first four seals are peeled off, and we've always known this as the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I'm not going to talk much about that because we've heard a lot about that over the years. The church in the past had television shows about the four horsemen. Mr. Armstrong did one on the World Tomorrow TV program. Beyond the Day has a thorough TV show on the day of the four horsemen. I think the title of it is just the four horsemen. So over to the fifth seal. This is the cry of the martyrs. Now, we've known this to be the tribulation, and also, as it says, the cry of the martyrs, the religious persecution and tribulation. Let's look at Revelation 6:9. Revelation 6 and verse 9, it says, "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?' Then a white robe was given to them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants," this is yet future, "and their brethren, who would be killed as they were completed." Now over in Matthew 24, let's go there for a second, Matthew 24, Matthew 9:12, talks about the same time. And I know you remember that the four horsemen of the apocalypse, Matthew 24, what Christ tells the apostles, goes hand in hand with the four horsemen. But in verse 9, it says, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, because lawlessness will abound. The love of many will grow cold." Then it goes on to say, "But he who endures till the end, the same shall be saved." So we can see that this is the fifth seal that Jesus Christ is talking about. It's religious persecution, and it's also, we'll see on after the next seal, that is also the tribulation. The sixth seal in Revelation 6 starts in verse 12. It says, "I looked, and when he opened the sixth seal, behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon was like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind." Verse 15, "And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb.'" This is the sixth seal, and this is what Christ talked about, signs in the heavens, the heavenly signs. Let's go back to Joel 2. Joel 2, right before Amos, I believe. Joel 2, and we'll start in verse 30. This is talking about the same time, the signs in the heavens. It says, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. So the sixth seal is these heavenly signs, and it comes before the seventh seal, which begins the day of the Lord. In Matthew 24, we'll look at just verse 29, Matthew 24 and 29. And it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. So this shows that this is the sixth seal. And this shows us that immediately after the tribulation, it shows us that the fifth seal is the tribulation. Now the seventh seal starts in Revelations chapter 8. The seventh chapter of Revelations is an inset chapter. When he opened the seventh seal, Revelations 8 verse 1, there was silence in heavens for a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Verse 7, the first trumpet. Vegetation struck. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. So these first few seals are on the land, on the vegetation, on the sea. The second angel sounded, and something like the great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. The third trumpet, verse 10. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died. So now we see some, actually, deaths occurring. Many men died from the waters because it was made bitter. Wormwood means bitter. The fourth trumpet, the heaven struck. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine. Can you imagine what that would be like? It's dark all day long, a third of the day. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpets. So the last three angels, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh, we know as the three woes. Now, how long is the day of the Lord? Is it one day? I think that in the past, I believe that the church has believe that it's probably at least a year. We know from the fifth trumpet that it is at least 5 months. It says the fifth angel sounded. This is in verse 9, chapter 9, verse 1. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven. An angel fell from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. And to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass or the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God in their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, so they were not allowed to kill any man. But they torment them for 5 months. So we know that the day of the Lord is at least 5 months because of this fifth trumpet. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. Okay, I think that's all I want to say about that. In verse 10, it does say their power was to hurt men for 5 months. The sixth angel, the sixth trumpet, talks about in verse 13, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year. Very specific. And I gave a message a few weeks ago on her place, the place of safety. And I showed that there is an appointed time when God is going to intervene in the affairs of the world. There is a time. There is a day. You know, Christ says, no one knows the day or the hour, but the Father only. So there is a day. And this one here says that these four angels have been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year. And they were released to kill a third of mankind. Verse 18, by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone, which came out of their mouths. Now listen to this. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood. He goes on to say, which can neither see, hear, nor walk. This world worships these things. And they did not repent of their murders, their sorceries, and of their sexual immorality or their thefts. Now this word sorceries, I'll try to pronounce the Greek, is pharmakia. And it means, the word pharmaceutical comes from it. And it could also be translated drugs. Just think how this world is affected by drugs. I think every city in the United States has a problem with drugs. We hear of it all the time in our area. Heroin, one of the strongest drugs there is. And it's rampant. It's a real problem. Now, let's go to verse 15:1. Chapter 15, verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues. For them, the wrath of God is complete. So this seventh seal that was open was the final seal in that scroll. The seventh seal had the seven trumpets. We looked at some of them. The seventh trumpet has the seven last plagues. And in them, the wrath of God is complete. It says in verse 2, I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. In verse 4, who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven last plagues, clothed in pure bright linen, and having their chest girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven bowls full of wrath of God who lives forever and ever. In chapter 16 begins the bowls, the seven last plagues. The first plague, verse 2, is loathsome sores. The second bowl, the sea turns to blood. The third bowl, in verse 4, the waters turn to blood. The springs of water, the drinking water, Man cannot even drink water because it's been turned to blood. Kind of reminds you of the time back in Egypt, time of Moses. Verse 17, then the seventh angel, the very last one, poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." Remember, Christ said on the cross, "It is finished." Well, now he's saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thundering and lightnings. There was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as not occurred since men were on the earth. Can you imagine what that will be like? An earthquake like has never been before. Now, I said the book of Revelations was both bad news and good news. There is good news in the book of Revelations. First, the return of Jesus Christ. Let's look at that in Revelations 19. Revelations 19, 1 through 7. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her." And again they said, "Hallelujah." Verse 4, the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne. What did they say? Hallelujah. More good news. Then a voice came from heaven saying, "Praise our God, all you servants and those who fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude as a sound of many waters and a sound of a mighty thundering saying, "Hallelujah. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready." Satan bound for 1,000 years in chapter 20. Another good news. Chapter 20 and verse 1, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He lay hold of the dragon, that serpent of old who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Good news. No more Satan's thoughts, his attitudes filling the air. No more will mankind for 1,000 years be tuned in to him or his demons. They are going to be put in a place of restraint, a place of abyss. Also in Revelation 20, more good news. Verse 4, the millennium. The time when the saints will be changed, will have already been changed to spirit beings, and now they're going to come back to the earth with Christ. And they're going to rule for 1,000 years. Can you imagine what that'll be like? 1,000 years of teaching God's way of life. 1,000 years of experience what it's like to be a spirit being. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment and commitment to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast for his image and had not received his mark in their forehead or in their hands. And they lived and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Revelation 21, more good news. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw the new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Hallelujah. I said that, not the book. Also, there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain." for the former things have passed away. Verse 7, he who overcomes, and I hope that's every one of us, shall inherit all things. And I believe Mr. Armstrong used to say that in the Moffat, I never thought I'd ever use that word, but the Moffat translation, that means the whole universe. He who overcomes shall inherit the universe, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I want to leave us with one sort of like a word picture in our minds to help us think about the future and what God has planned for us. Let's go back to Revelations 19. Revelations 19 and verse 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. The wife is the saints. You. He has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Now let's go over to verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. We know that this is Jesus Christ coming back on a white horse at the sound of the seventh trumpet. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. This is Jesus Christ. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And back to verse 14. And the armies in heaven, the armies, who is this army? The armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. You like horses? You like white horses? It looks like you're going to get one someday. It says in verse 8 again, I want to read this again. To her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. The very same thing it says in verse 14. In Matthew 16:27, it also shows that, we'll go there for our last verse, Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and verse 27, talking about the same time when Christ returns on a white horse, says, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he will reward each according to his works. He's going to reward the saints according to the works. But he's coming back with angels too. I believe that at the time of the resurrection, that when those that are dead are brought up out of the graves, angels are going to be there to help them. And I believe that those that are alive and are changed from flesh to spirit, that God's angels are going to be there. Perhaps go up with them to help them, to show them what to do. I don't know, the Bible doesn't really say that, but I believe that's probably what's going to happen. So the revelation is both good news and bad news. We've read some of the revelations today. We've looked at some of the verses. Let's put them in our mind. Let's strive to really keep them. As it says, blessed are those who keep these words. Let's keep them in our minds and study, pray, fast, and draw close to God, so we will all be in that kingdom when Christ returns.